was thinking as Brother Scott was reading. You know, good news, the gospel, glad tidings. Good news is not good news if there was no bad news. That which makes the gospel wondrously good is when we know something of what God saved us from ourselves. We're the problem. Turn with me to Romans 15. Romans 15. I'm going to begin looking in verse 22. Just a second. But you know, the purposes and the intents of a believer are often impeded or hindered. Not necessarily because they're not good intentions, but because the providence of God orders things to be so. There's things that we have in our mind that we want to do, and they very, very probably have an honorable end. I mean, it's not that they're bad. It's just, you know, Paul had fully preached, he said, the gospel where Christ was not named. That's what God had called him to do. Paul's calling was to go and establish places. The Lord had a people. That's why God sent the Apostle Paul to go where he did. The gospel was to be preached in all the world. And so Paul went there, but because he was doing what the Lord had called him to do. We start in verse 22 and says, "For which cause?" That was the reason. He wanted to go to Rome is what he did. He wanted to go visit the saints at Rome. That's what he wanted to do. But the reason that he hadn't been able to go is right here, verse 20. "For which cause? Also I've been much hindered from coming to you." Now, there may be second causes, that things that come up that we look at as hindrances or something that comes up that hinders a good intention. And it might be that secondary causes may be evident. Maybe something happened, a boss, a fair weather friend. Something happened providentially. You know, engine blew up. Maybe something happened as a secondary cause. But the reason that we're hindered in this life, the reason that we're not able to sometimes do what we would like to do, is because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Almighty God worketh. He's operative. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, the reason that everything worked out exactly the way it did today, this is the day the Lord's made. And Almighty God is working right now, today. Everything in this world is being ordered. All the steps are being ordered of everything. Every man, every animal, every earthquake, every thunderstorm, every snowstorm, everything God is working. All things after the counsel of His own will for the accomplishment of His purpose. Now, if Almighty God is working all things, well, then that means that there's sometimes that some hindrances come up. In our mind, some things happen. And we were going to. But we couldn't. But the snow, the Lord worked that. That's one of the hardest things in the world for me to remember. I hate to call you and cancel service. I feel, like I'm shirking my responsibility. It's snowing, or it's supposed to snow. I try to, relieve my mind, by calling Brother Scott. Ask him, Scott, what do you think? Maybe I don't have to make the decision. Won't look so bad on me. I'm so glad he's here. I heard him say one time, the Lord sends the snow. I'm thinking, but why would the Lord send snow on a day we're supposed to meet? Why couldn't Paul go to Rome? Wasn't anything wrong with the intention. I tell you one thing it does do when we're not able to meet, especially two times in a row. Man, I'm so glad to be here. I'm thinking, man, I hadn't been here in so long. Makes me remember. That was good. Hindrances, things that come up. But you know this, that neither Satan nor any other creature hinders God's purpose. Nothing happens outside of God's will. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, whether or not it looks good or looks bad or looks like it's dishonorable or honorable or whatever it is, the Lord is working all things. Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh, who is operative. If I can just stop and remember that whatever comes my way, that God is operative for my good and His glory. And hopefully I can settle down. It's the Lord. That's what Eli said. Came to him, told him, said, your boys, both your boys have been killed. It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good to him. Job says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I just settle down. I am so prone to feel, I want to get it done. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to do something today if it's wrong. That's such a bad attitude. Just relax. Just settle down. But though the apostle was hindered coming to the church at Rome, he wanted to go. But he wasn't slothful in the work to which he was called. Verse 22-23. But now, he says, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Paul had previously given the church at Rome this exhortation. He said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now listen to me. Let me hopefully give you some practical understanding about this. Fervent in business. This has nothing to do with, you want to be fervent, business as far as monetary, but that's not what it's talking about. The work of the Lord, the ministry, fervent. Paul says, serving the Lord. Do what you can. Now, what has the Lord commanded us to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We've got, we're trying as often as we can, as quickly as we can. We're the tools that we have. Messages that Brother Scott's preached here years and years and years, trying to get them and put them on, get them out. It's amazing to me how many responses I know, since a little over, maybe coming up soon to 2 years, over 30,000 messages. You know, a lot of them all over the world, most of them from China. People download these messages that he preached. And I'm thinking, you know, we're doing what we can do. Serving the Lord as He commanded us. Preach the gospel, that's what we do. I'm not concerned about trying to clean up society, and there's a lot of things that are good things. I'm not saying that. What has God called us to do? Preach the gospel. That's it. That's all I'm concerned about doing. I'm not concerned with any other programs, or I'm not saying the programs are not good. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that's not what I'm concerned about. Serving the Lord. Do what you can. But how do I know what to do? How do I know what to do? Let me ask you this. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? How do I know what to do concerning the service of our God? What do you want? Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Not only give you the desires of your heart, but also give you what your heart has then desired. Is there anything wrong with ministering to the saints, praying for them, being an encouragement to them, help them? You see somebody that it's in really help. I'm not talking about a sluggard. I'm not talking about somebody's lazy. I'm not talking about somebody that doesn't want to do it. I've often said this. If I see somebody pushing a rock up a hill, I'll help you. But if you're sitting there waiting on me to walk up and push that rock up for you, you'll probably be waiting a long time. Why? When you see somebody struggling and they need some help and they're doing all they can, do what you can for them. Help them. What does somebody need? What's the greatest need that somebody's got? I'll tell you what it is. To hear the gospel. That's what I've said before. What can you do to somebody that you work with? Ask them to come. Just tell them to come sit. I've got them for about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. Uninterrupted. I've got the floor. Prepared a message. Pray the Lord's blessing on it. Lay it out systematically. What do they need more than anything? They need to hear the gospel. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God and salvation." He wasn't a sluggard. The Lord had providentially sent him to these different places, and he says, "Now, when I take my journey to Spain, I want to come to see you. Not to go see the pomp of Rome. It wasn't the grandeur of that world's care that drew his heart. It was the saints of God." I like this building. I love it. It's beautiful. I love the building on it. But do you know what I love? I love the people of God that are here. This is such a blessing to be able to be here together with you. We're sitting here at this moment, right here, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is the supper. We're feasting on Him, eating of Him, drinking of Him. God's people. Paul said, "I want to be with you." Paul says in verse 25 to 27, "But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia, Achaia, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." Now, let me ask you this. What did Paul primarily do? He preached the gospel to those people. But in the preaching of the gospel, in the ministering those saints, there was a need that was made aware. And it was the saints at Jerusalem, the Jews, and the Gentiles, those that these Jews had previously despised. Thought of, no way in the world God's going to save one of those. A contribution had been made. Some money. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 16. Let me show you something about giving. Giving. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. A contribution had been made, and Paul said, I want to bring it to you. Now concerning 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week. Do you know why we meet on Sunday, first day of the week? It's in celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. The apostles met on the first day of the week. They used to meet on the last day of the week, on Saturday, Sabbath. But the believers, after the resurrection of our Lord, under the direction of the Spirit of God, they, in celebration of His resurrection, we meet. This is why we meet on Sunday. It just doesn't happen to be because we're not working today. Traditionally, this is the reason we don't work today is because this is the Lord's day. He said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, listen to me. God's people are generous people. They share as the Lord prospers them. God's people give. Now that please. You know, you think, well, there he goes, you know, preaching on money. Let me tell you something. For God so loved the world that he gave. It is a, number one, it's a joy. It's a joy to give. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a commandment. The Scripture says, now listen to this, and let me ask you this, if this is a is an option. Verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. How does a man give? As God prospers him. I'm telling you that God's people give. And if there be no inclination of graciousness and giving, and you can use every excuse in the world you want to. You can try to tell me how many bills you got and how many kids you got to put through school and how many this and that. You're not having to deal with me. Now I'm telling you, God's people are gracious people. Is that too plain? This is the way it is. The spiritual maturity of a person is evidenced by giving. Now, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. The spiritual maturity. As God prospers a man, how much has God prospered you? Unto whom much is given, much is required. I'm telling you, we are the stingiest people in the world. I may be getting too honest. Maybe I am. If I am, well, Lord, forgive me. And if I'm not, Lord, help you. Help me. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 9. I've said this many times. There's a great, great blessing in giving. It's a joy to give. It's never recorded in the Scripture, only that Paul says the Lord said it. Paul said this, as the Lord said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you know that Scripture is not in the Bible? Paul said that the Lord said it. That's what it was. It wasn't recorded. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. I say this, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Not like this. Oh, all right. I'm going to give, but man, I can't afford this. Just keep it. obviously you need it more. Just keep it. Don't give grudgingly. Don't do that. God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. All believers give. They give. Now, some more than others. What's the difference? As God prospers a man. Somebody's making $25,000 in here, give as God prospered you. If you're making $100,000, then give as God prospered you. You say, well, I just don't think I can do that. Well, maybe God will take it away from you. Or worse than that, maybe He'll let you keep it. I had a man one time, doctor, told me he was a believer, claimed. And he said to me one day, he said, you know, Marvin, I hope God never touches my money. I hope God never puts me in a situation where He takes away my money. And I thought, I hope God delivers you from that, because He may just allow you to keep it and keep it all and die with it all. God's people are generous people. Paul said back in Romans chapter 15, he said, it hath pleased them, Macedonia, verse 26, and Achaia, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints that are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for the Gentiles been made partakers of their spiritual things. If God has been pleased to call out these Gentiles and bless them richly, spiritually, and these Gentiles were financially, they were well off. They had some stuff. And these poor Jews over here didn't have anything. They were struggling. How do you sit and watch somebody struggle when they're really trying to make ends? God may have put them in that situation for one person, one purpose, to bless you helping them. We found out a few years ago that Brother Cody and Walter, well, actually it was Walter. Walter needed a vehicle down in Mexico. There's a faithful man, been down 40-something years, been down there. They thought he was going to take up an offering, kind of called a few of the churches around, said, Brother Walter needs he can't work. Not because he won't work, because the Mexican government won't let him work. It's against the law for a missionary in Mexico to work. So what do? We support them. We help them. So let's help them out and send them some money to get Walter a vehicle. Buddy, I'm telling you, when the last shot was fired, we bought Walter a vehicle and bought Cody one too. And I'm telling you, they weren't cheap vehicles either. They were big SUVs, and we saw them when we were down there. Big, nice vehicles. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know one church that's struggling today because of it. There were thousands and thousands and thousands. I mean, you start looking at $35,000 and $40,000 vehicles, and he bought two. And do you know all these churches that sent down there are still operating right now? Paul says if God has made them, these Gentiles, partakers of spiritual things, their duty, look at verse 27, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. It is my duty. Duty. Verse 28, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I'll come by you into Spain. Paul was trusted with the taking of this gift, go to Jerusalem, deliver that contribution, help them, be glad to help them, and then go to Rome and visit with them. Try to see them. Because he said, my plans, verse 24, when I take my journey, come to you, trust to see you, be brought to you, that I might be filled with your company. It is such a privilege to be able to be here. It's such a joy to be able to see you, be with you. I trust to see you. But don't be overconfident in your plans. If the Lord wills, I'll be there. But of all the things that Paul desired, here's the last verse we'll deal with this morning, verse 29. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Of all the things that Paul desired, he wanted to come visit with them. I want to visit with you this morning. He wanted to be a help to them. I'd want to be a help to you. I need some help. He wanted to be a blessing to them. No doubt about that, but here's what he prayed. That when I come, I'll come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. If the Lord blesses this message to you today, if we're taught by it, exhorted by it, convicted by it, it's been a help to us. I pray that it is. The fullness of the gospel, the knowledge of the gospel, the blessing of the gospel, the comfort of the gospel. If God doesn't bless this message to our hearts, if we don't walk away today with a blessing of the gospel of Christ, then we don't have anything. I just took up an hour and a half of your time. But if Almighty God has been pleased to bless this message, the fullness of it, the completeness of it, if Almighty God has been pleased to bring honor to Himself, then this has been a profitable hour and a half. You know, we absolutely cannot expect too much from the Lord. We just don't. Paul prayed that God would make him an instrument of the blessing of the gospel. And that's the prayer of every gospel preacher. I pray that God would teach us something. We're not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of telling you what Scripture says about giving. Brother Don Fortner told me one time, you know, he said, Marvin, don't ever be ashamed to deal with something that the Scriptures deals with. Don't ever be ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to tell you anything concerning these Scriptures. It's so. I tell you what it does. It causes us to take a good look at ourselves. And you know what a believer's going to do? They're going to take God's Word against themselves. They'll take God's side against themselves, against that beast that lives within them. May Almighty God be pleased to bless our hearts today to His glory and to our good. Amen. Gary, would you come?